I've titled our message this morning, Using Your Time for the Lord. Using Your Time for the Lord. And we're going back to our series here in Ephesians, and we're in the middle of chapter 5 here. And you notice at the beginning of chapter 5, verse 1, Paul admonished us, be therefore followers or imitators of God. That is Paul's thrust as we enter into this chapter. That we would be following Him, mimicking Him, if you will. And Paul is really driving this home, that we are to show to the world around us the difference that Christ has made in our lives. And in the first 7 verses, we spent time looking at the fact that we are to walk in Christian love. That the believer, the child of God, is to show Christian love through his life. He's to show the difference that Christ has made. And if it were not for the love of God that has been planted into our hearts through His saving work on the cross of Calvary, we would not understand how to begin to show that love to others. Secondly, verses 8 through 14, Paul stressed that we are to walk in Christian light. And we saw the contrast of darkness with light, that you and I as believers are to show the difference that Christ has made by being a testimony and a light to the world around us. Today we come to just 3 verses, but they are very vital verses. They're very important here in the middle of Ephesians chapter 5. And it emphasizes in this section that we are to walk in wisdom. We're to walk in love, we're to walk in light, we're to walk in wisdom. And as we look at these 3 verses this morning, we see once again that the believer is to be fervent and purposeful in his walk with the Lord. Now, as we go to verse 15, let's back up one verse here into verse 14. We begin reading there, chapter 5, verse 14. Wherefore he saith, Awake, thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. As we were together last time in this chapter, this contrast of light and darkness. And it's as if Paul sums it up in verse 14 that we've been made alive by Christ. Therefore, we have new life, and our life should therefore reflect that in the demonstration of our behavior of our life. How we live out our life should radically change because of the light of Christ. New life replaces darkness. Light in Christ chases away that darkness. We're to walk and live according to that new life in Christ. And as we come to verses 15, 16, and 17, it's in that context that Paul tells us then to awake and be busy about serving the Lord. To recognize that our eyes have been awakened by the reality of our sinful condition, that Christ was the only one who could save us from our sin, that now we have eternal life, and we're to awake up and to recognize the need now to use our time wisely to serve the Lord. How sad it is that many believers often drift through life. There's no purpose, there's no understanding that Christ has saved them, and implementing that into their walk with the Lord and their fervency of being busy about the Lord's work, they merely recognize Christ has saved them and they begin to drift. They begin to get into what they want to or what the world has to offer, and they end up using their time for themselves and wasting the opportunities to obey and serve the Lord. Maybe you've had a sleepwalker in your house. We haven't had one as of yet, but we do have sometimes where a little one will wake up and they're not fully awake. And if you've had a sleepwalker, I'm sure you have many stories that you could tell, perhaps of waking up and realizing a sleepwalker's made his way down to the kitchen and he's gotten something out of the refrigerator or he's doing something of the normal routine in the middle of the night. And usually you have to approach them kind of cautiously because you don't know if they're fully awake. And sometimes as you reach out to touch them, they might pull away because they're not fully coherent of what is going on. And that's the picture, really, as we look at this passage, that many Christians, sadly, are just sleepwalking. They're not fully awake and cognizant of what is going on in their life and what they are to be doing in using their life for the Lord. They miss opportunities to serve the Lord. They waste their time. They lose their life that God has given them and the time that the Lord has given them to be used for Him. And so this morning we're going to see that we must use our time for the Lord's glory. And as we look at these verses, we're going to see three characteristics of how important it is for you and I to use our time for the glory of the Lord. Notice, first of all, verse 15, we are to walk wisely. The first characteristic is that we are to walk wisely. Notice verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Paul says that the believer, as he walks, is to walk wisely. That word circumspectly there in verse 15 carries the idea of being fully aware of the surroundings as you're walking. The dangers that are on every side and every turn as you go forward in your Christian walk. Sometimes we think of a cat who gingerly walks on a fence or walks on the back of your couch, making purposeful moves. That's the picture of what Paul is saying here in verse 15. We're to walk fully aware of the surroundings and the things that are going on around us, and we do so as we walk in wisdom. We walk cautiously, carefully, purposefully as a child of God. And so Paul is stressing here that a conscientious believer is aware also of the pitfalls around him. He's aware of the temptations, the natural tendencies to fall into certain areas of sin. And he safeguards himself by walking in the truth of God's word. He walks in wisdom cautiously or circumspectly. He's aware of the dangers and the traps that could pull him down and lure him into sin. He's also aware of the fact that these traps could just merely take his attention away from the Lord, that he could find something that would distract him from walking purposefully in life. I think that's where often Satan likes to tempt people. It's not, yes, there's temptation through sin, but if he can just get us distracted and to fall into all of these things that are going to waste our time, then he's succeeded. And Paul warns us, walk circumspectly in wisdom. Walk in wisdom from the truth of God's word. How many believers truly walk with that mindset? They're aware of the potential dangers around them. They're aware of those pitfalls that are going to take them away from the Lord or merely just waste their time. And they miss opportunities to serve the Lord. We should never carelessly walk or flounder through our Christian life. We have God's Word. We have His Spirit. We have the fellowship of believers to walk in wisdom. But are we taking the time to seek His Word, to know who God is, to allow His Spirit to lead us and direct our steps? We must be diligent in being obedient to God's word, of searching and knowing Him and allowing our heart to be tender to His leading in our lives. Walking circumspectly also involves walking with forethought as well. Not only walking in wisdom with God's word, but walking with forethought. How is the Lord leading me? Where does He want me to go? What does He want me to do? How does He want me to live my life? And so a conscientious believer not only is seeking to obey God's word and be mindful of these pitfalls around him, but he's also giving great forethought as to the Lord's leading in his life. He wants to know the Lord more so that he's prepared for that next step that the Lord has for him. None of us know the future. None of us know the next day and the things that will come about from those days. But yet the believer still is to be striving to know the Lord greater so that he can walk circumspectly with forethought to know the wisdom of God in his life. Listen to the heart prayer in Psalm 119, verse 18. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. That's the prayer that should be on the heart of every believer. Open my eyes to understand the truth of God's word so that I might walk in wisdom, that I wouldn't give in to the temptations and the pitfalls that are around me. Paul urges the Colossians in the book of Colossians chapter 1 verse 10, walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. If we're going to walk circumspectly, walk in wisdom, we must know our God. We must know Him greater and more fervently with greater zeal day after day, seeking to know who our God is. So the question this morning comes, how's your walk? Are you taking spiritual care of the steps that you are taking? Are you taking seriously the battle that is going on around you so that you can walk circumspectly in this life, purposefully? Are you perhaps cold to the things of the Lord and therefore your walk has become very sloppy? Maybe it's become very casual or careless. And the Holy Spirit's pricking your heart and saying, you must walk in the truth of God's word, and you must walk in the wisdom of God if you're going to walk in a purposeful way. So number one, the first characteristic of using our time for the Lord's glory is to walk wisely. Number two, verse 16, we're to use our time wisely. Use our time wisely. Notice verse 16. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. What an important verse that perhaps we've memorized before, but yet we should not quickly overlook. It's very powerful. Paul literally says this, if we can look at the first part of verse 16, redeeming the time, he literally says, buy back your time. Use it for the Lord's glory. That He's given each of us time on earth, a beginning and an end in His sovereignty, and we're to use that time for the Lord's glory. We understand this idea of redeeming through the redeeming work of Christ in our lives, that He's bought us out of the slave market of sin. We understand in the historical context of the Bible that slaves were purchased and set free from their entanglements of being a slave. And so Paul says here, verse 16, that same word, redeeming the time, buying back the time that we have been given, that we would use our time in the Lord's service. You know, think of not only our young people, but also each of us as adults. Are we using our time for the Lord? Are we putting it off and saying, Lord, I'll serve you when I'm 50 or 60 years old, but right now I want to live life for myself? Or are you actually buying back, you're using the time that God has given to you for the Lord's glory? You know, none of us know how many days we have ahead of us, but how important it is for us to use the days God has given us and serve Him fully. Life is short. We shouldn't waste it. Life is very brief, and none of us know the hour the Lord would call us, but He's given us time, and we're to use that time for the Lord. Paul understood this very well as he writes this epistle. He says in another book, he says, I've fought the good fight. I've finished the course. I have kept the faith. Paul says, I've redeemed the time that God has given me. I've bought it back and I've sought to serve Him fervently with my life. Young people, don't waste the time God has given to you. Don't dabble in the things of this world, the things of this flesh, and then lose out on the opportunity to serve Him right now, to be used of Him. But even as adults, how easy it is for us to use our time for all the things that distract us away from what's most important. Are you walking with Him? Are you using your time? Is He using you for His service and glory? Turn with me, if you would, quickly to James chapter 4. Two verses are very important as we look at this idea of using our time wisely. James chapter 4. verses 13 and 14. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city, and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It's even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Earlier this week, our family had the chance to go and visit with Nancy Smith. And you remember Pastor Tom Smith had tragically was killed this past spring in a car accident. And as you spend time with them, just realizing that these young ones now no longer have a father, I think of Tom's life. He was busy serving the Lord. He decided he was going to follow the ways of the Lord. He wanted to please the Lord. And his life was taken at 48 years of age, just like that. And life is short, and we don't know how many days we have. Are you using them to serve the Lord? Back in our text here in Ephesians 5, Paul says at the end of verse 16, not only are we to redeem the time, buy it back, he says the reason, the days are evil, the end of verse 16. He says that we're living in an evil day. Now we know, as we've looked at this book, Ephesians, that the city of Ephesus was a very wicked place, that their standards of moral living were very depraved. They were living in filth. There were sexual sins going on. There was all types of immoral acts taking place. And so as Paul wrote, he says, buy back the time because you can see the evil of the day around you. And if that was true in Paul's day, it certainly is true today as well. Perhaps even worse, that the day that we're living in is evil. That today we live in a wicked culture, and that's why Paul is saying, walk in love, walk in light, walk in wisdom. That we would take the days God has given to us and live them for the Lord because the day is evil. I wanted to take just a little bit of time to reflect on our own ministry here as we've come to the end of the year. As you prepare and plan as a pastor for the coming year, you think about what has taken place this past year. And there are many things that we have really done as a church body that I'm thrilled about. As we look at this verse, redeeming our time, have we been serving the Lord faithfully as we should? And I think there's been many positive things that we as a church body have been a part of, things that each of us have ministered and labored in. And I began to write down some of the highlights, and I wanted to share those this morning just to encourage us to keep continuing to redeem the time that God has given to us. I think of our missions. Last year, we were able to increase the support of all of our current missionaries, which was a blessing to them. And then this year, we've been able to take on three new families. We had the Bakers, the Bolins, and the Canackles in, and we were able to take them on for support. And what a blessing in this day to be able to do that. Many churches are struggling to meet the financial needs of their missionaries. But praise the Lord, we were not only able to increase the current missionary support level, but take on three new families as well. We think of our services where we've had opportunity for visitors that are a little bit more special, our family Sundays that we've done together, our Easter services. This year, Vacation Bible School, we included a closing program that we sought to reach out to the parents of those that came. We had a wonderful Thanksgiving praise service just a couple of weeks ago. Our Christmas program, what a blessing, as we had many come that did not know the Lord, many in this community that are lost and without Christ. I think of our camping program. We had youth camps. We had family camps. We had retreats. I had the privilege of going from our church and speaking at a week at camp. What a blessing to encourage and equip God's people and to greater walk with the Lord. Our teenagers began serving regularly in our nursing home ministry. They've given ministry through our evening services as well. And what a blessing to see them stepping up and enjoying that service in the Lord, doing things that they weren't comfortable with. As we began in January, We started going to the nursing home, and I asked him, how many of you have even been to a nursing home? And half to three quarters hadn't. And what a chance for them to serve and minister to those people and to us as well. We added a young couple Sunday school class that's been a blessing to our church. We developed a current website, and we developed current church brochures just to continue to be an outreach to the community. We had the privilege to get to hand out 500 gospel tracts and invitations in our parade to the festival, giving the gospel out to those who do not know Christ. And then I think of all the ministry that takes place within the church family as people meet financial needs, or they give meals as people are coming out of the hospital or going through a time of loss at a funeral. All of these things speak of using our time for the Lord's glory. And what a blessing, what a refreshment it is to look back at the year and see the things that we've been able to be a part of as God's people. And folks, that should stir our hearts. That should encourage us to continue on in the Lord's work, that we would redeem the time that we are living in, that we would make sure we're using the opportunities God has given to us for His service. The work is not finished. We continue on for the Lord's glory. As I've been thinking about what we've done this past year, and as I've been thinking about even the beginning of the year, have challenged us to take on one family or one person and to really invest your time with them. And many have done that. What a blessing that has been. As we go into this next year, I've really been burdened with this verse that this would be our theme, redeeming the time, that we would use our time for the Lord's glory. Will you actively obey and serve the Lord? Will you use your time for His glory? It'll require getting out of our comfort zone. It may require sacrificing some things, but yet Paul, with urgency, wrote to the believers there in Ephesus, and it's a cord for us today as well, that we would redeem the time because the days are evil. You know, what a joy it would be if the Lord allowed you to be a part of bringing someone to Christ this coming year, or discipling them and helping them to grow greater in their love and service for the Lord. We have all kinds of opportunities to do that. Are you busy using your time for the Lord's glory? Our first characteristic that we looked at together was that we would walk wisely. Secondly, that we would use our time wisely. Number 3, verse 17, follow God's will. Follow God's will. Notice verse 17. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Paul says we're to use our minds and our hearts to discern and know the will of God. That this idea of walking in wisdom would motivate what we're doing with our time, and that we would seek to know and follow the Lord's will. How do we know the Lord's will? Well, there are specific passages clearly that direct our attention. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, the transformed mind, that our mind would be fixed on Christ and that He would lead us in His Word, that He gives us His Spirit to guide us through the Word of God and causing us to become more dependent on Him and to know how to follow Him. We can know Him and His will better by meditating on the truth of God's Word. Taking time daily not only to study and know the Bible, not just for fact's sake, but to meditate on it, to allow it to soak in and sink into our hearts. To know our God better through meditating on the Scriptures will help us then to know how to follow God's will in our lives. I think a lot of times for believers, if we want to know the Lord's will, we first have to evaluate, are we being obedient to what we know from God's Word? Is my life walking in obedience to the Word of God? Because if I'm not, I can't know the Lord's specific will beyond whether or not I'm actually being obedient to what God has already entrusted to me. that I first must be obedient to His word, and then He leads me and directs me in further in His will. Notice Paul says in verse 17, "Do not be unwise." That word unwise means senseless. To have no purpose in understanding what God's will is in your life. He says instead, we're to know the will or understand what the will of the Lord is. That we as believers should desire to know wisdom. James 1 verse 5 says this, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given." If we want to know how to follow God's will, if we want to know the wisdom of God, we have to ask for it. We have to beg to know our God greater. We have to spend time in prayer seeking His face, that He would give us wisdom to walk in His ways. It takes a conscientious decision to set our minds on the things that are most important. If we're going to redeem the time, we must put forth the effort to conscientiously say, "I'm going to walk circumspectly. I'm going to use my time for the Lord." And then verse 17, "I'm going to understand and know the will of God in my life." That I want to incorporate the truth into my daily life. That's knowing and following the will of the Lord. Turn with me, if you would, to one more passage as we close. Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2. And you'll find here in the first half of the chapter a great emphasis on wisdom. We're going to look at just the first five verses that speak of knowing the wisdom of God. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1. "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." First half of verse 6, "For the Lord giveth wisdom." If we want to know the will of God, we need to desire to have wisdom in our life. That we would seek after wisdom as hid treasure, as precious, as important to us. That we would fervently desire to know our God and His wisdom in our life. More than anything else, we should seek to know Him more this coming year. That at the end of 2015, we might be able to say, "I know the Lord more than I did at the beginning of the year." That we would walk closer and more fervently with Him. Paul said, "I press toward the mark. I strive. I diligently pursue knowing my God." And so the question comes this morning. First of all, do you know Him as your Savior? Have you repented of your sin and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? If you don't know Him, may we take the Word of God today and show you how you can know Christ and have eternal life. But secondly, for us as believers, are you redeeming the time? Are you using your time for the Lord? You know, what if the Lord only gave us a few more months or a couple of days to live? Are you using your time right now for the Lord? Are you redeeming the time because the days are evil? Shall we pray together? Our Heavenly Father, what a blessing it's been to look back and rejoice together this morning at all that we've been able to do as a ministry. We thank You, Lord, for the privilege of getting to serve You. We pray, Lord, that we would be busy about serving You and following Your will, that we would not waste opportunities or waste time that You've given to us or people that we can influence for the gospel. Lord, help us to edify believers and disciple them and help them to know you greater by sharing what the Lord has been doing in our lives. Oh Lord, we can squander away the time so easily. Help us to be faithful. Help us to be diligent. Help us to continue to strive for the prize. Lord, may we get to the end of our life and hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." How we pray that you would make us to follow you more. Help us to know you, to know the knowledge of what the will of God is. Help us, Lord, to be a light in this evil day that we are living. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege of knowing you, that we know the truth of God's word, that we can live and walk the truth to the world around us. Pray that you would build up homes, marriages, that you would strengthen us to be more fit for your service this coming year. And we thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us, your faithfulness, even when we have failed. In Jesus' name, amen.